I wanted to thank Dean first for asking me to teach. I'm really excited about it. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, you could go to John 17. The topic of this teaching is truth, the word. And I'm really excited. So John 17, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So this is Jesus Christ talking, and he's praying to God. And it's a really cool prayer here. So verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus Christ here is praying for the apostles, like his apostles who are following him. And then if we continue on, we'll just keep reading. 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So in verse 20, he says that he's not just praying for his apostles, like the 12 apostles. He's also praying for us, the people who are going to believe. So I thought that was really cool. So back to verse 15, in this really cool prayer where Jesus Christ thought about us, he said, like, I understand in verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. So he's saying, like, when you become a believer, Jesus Christ didn't ask God to remove us physically from the world, which we know, like, we've heard that we can't just separate ourselves completely from everyone else. Verse 16, they're not of the world, dot, 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 dot. 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So he's praying, God, we can't physically remove them from the world, but we're going to separate them by giving them the truth. So having the truth is what sets us apart from the rest of the world. We're not physically set apart, but Jesus Christ was like, but give them your word so that they can know the truth, and that can set them apart from everyone else. And so sanctified means set apart, purified, made holy, or like dedicated to God it's set apart for another purpose. And in our case, it's for God's purpose. And so for us, it's through the word. And then it says in 17, thy word is truth, which is what we're looking at today. And in verse 15, let's go back there. It says part B, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So the theme of this advance is in Ephesians 6:10, and the context of that is that, you know, there is stuff that we have to stand against in this world. So Jesus Christ is saying, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So to separate us from the evil, to protect us, he didn't physically remove us, but the separation we have and the protection from evil is the truth. He's like, sanctify them through thy truth. Give them the truth, and that's going to be the preparation that they need to stand against the evil of the world, to keep them from the evil. And another part, like another theme of what we're going to look at is in verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So not only do we have the truth as our separation, our protection, we also have it to move out with. That's another thing. So we have it first for ourselves and then to go out with. And that's really cool. So please go to Numbers 23. It's all the way in the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 23. Okay. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So here we learn that God's word is a different type of word than what we've ever heard before, than what we're used to, than what we hear from other people. It's a totally different thing. So it says here, God is not a man that he should lie. So people, even when we're not trying to lie, we lie because we don't know everything. We lie because maybe we forgot something, or it just happens because we're not perfect. But God is not a man, and he can't lie. he never gets the wrong impression or he never forgets something. He's just not in him because he knows everything and he just speaks what is. So that's the first thing. He's not a man that he should lie. His word's just true, period. That's it. Neither the Son of Man that he should repent. And that's pretty cool. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't do something and then be like, oops, that was a mistake. Like, we might do that where we lie because we changed our mind. Like, we said something and then we were like, yeah, I want to go to this place for dinner, Tim. And then later we're like, oh, no, never mind. But God doesn't do that. It's just not, it's not his nature. So when we hear his word, we have to be like, this is something else entirely. This is not, you know, this is not words that I'm used to. This is true. Like, it's true stuff. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? No. Wrong. So, yeah. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. And another thing that I wanted to mention is that, like, man, when we speak, we first have to be like, what am I going to say? And, like, think about it and, like, plan and gather our words and then speak it. Like, you have to come up with some idea. God, it's different. This is his revealed word. It's not his concocted word, like his thought up word. It's truths that already existed and he revealed them. For us, we, like, make stuff up. That's not how it works with God. This word, it says, it was in the beginning with God. It already existed. And then he revealed it. And it's the same when we receive revelation. The truth already exists. He's just telling you. Man's word, it's like, I might say something that I just thought of. And then I was like, oops, I shouldn't have said that. But it's just different with God. It's a thing already that existed. It's true. And then he revealed it to you. Man's word doesn't work that way. We have to, like, plan it out and stuff. It could be our opinion. It could be something we know is a lie and we just said it anyway. But God's word, it's just not that. It's this existed always. It was always true. And then he told it to us. So James, you can go to James 1, please. Okay. James 1, verse 17. It's all the way in the back. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So in verse 17, we learn that God doesn't change his mind on things. No variableness means no variation. He doesn't change from moment to moment. God is God. His word is his word. And that's it. And we're not like that. We might be like, you know, I feel this way and I'm never going to change my mind ever. I'm always going to feel this way. And then the next day we're like, nah, I changed my mind. God doesn't do that. It's just his word is his word. He is him. Neither shadow of turning. I'm not sure what that means, but he doesn't change. So circumstances in a situation may change and God might give us a new word about that, but God himself doesn't change. And the truth always stands true, and we can always count on it. So verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So I read this and just thought it was crazy. Like, it blew my mind. This, you can tell when you read this verse that we are dealing with a totally different kind of word than we've ever seen before. It says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. So because he just wanted to, he, like, birthed us or, like, created our spirit, like, with words. Like, which one of us could be like, I feel like creating some person today. I'm going to say some words and they're going to start to exist. No, like, that's not a thing. He birthed us. He made us by his word. He begat us with the word of truth. That's so wild to me. I don't know. It's really something else. There's nothing else but this word of truth that can take someone from spiritually not existing to being born again. Only the truth can do that. Only the word can do that. It takes a person from death to the new birth, and that's crazy. And it's because the word is the verdict. It's the truth. It's the thing that existed before everything. The word is the truth about what is, what was, and anything that's going to be. And it's just insane. And God, again, when he revealed it to us, he revealed it. So he begat us with the word of truth. By revealing the truth to people, he allowed us to get born again. He didn't just make it up. It is the truth. So that, I don't know, that's just crazy. I read that and I was like, I can't even, I don't know, I think that's crazy. You guys looked unfazed, but okay, go to Ephesians 6, please. He begat us by his will with words. Like, when I make something, I have raw materials, you know, like some wood or something, some flour. But he just said words and got us born again. I don't know. It's crazy. Ephesians. Ephesians number 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So here we see putting on the truth with respect to a spiritual fight. There's something going on here. That we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So, this reminds me of in John 17, when Jesus Christ was praying, and he was saying, protect them from the evil. You know, you can't, like, I get that, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil. And so, give them your truth. And that's here. We can withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. With what? The truth. We're going to get to that. Verse 14. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So, to gird your loins, I have a demonstration. to gird your loins is to get ready for hard work or battle. And so, in this time of the, like, when the Bible was written, they wore, like, long flowing things because it was hot, and so that like helped them to stay comfortable. But when they wanted to like get up and do work, that was constricting. Like it would stop their movement, or if they had to fight, it would get in the way. So to gird up your loins, I'll show you. So this is the girdle, and you'd be surprised how hard it was to find a dress that this worked with, but TJ Maxx. So you go out like this, they would take their girdle and they tie it, and then you take the back, I'm wearing shorts so don't worry, you take the back of your dress, or it would be a man, and you tuck it in, and now I can fight, and I can work, and I can do anything, and that's it. So I'll just leave it like that. Okay, so the truth is the girdle in this situation. And it prepares us for action. Now, I could run a little bit. I could run, I could fight. We're enabled because we have the truth. It's the thing that prepares us. Like, it holds all your stuff up. So now I could do whatever is necessary. And so when we see that in the word, you could picture that. Because it, to gird up your loins, you're like, like your intestines are involved in that, and like, I don't really get it. But that is what it means. So now I'm ready. And there's a place actually, I think it's in Luke, where it's saying like, to watch and be ready. And it says like, to keep your loins girded. Like I'm sitting there like this, and I'm ready. Like if something happened, I could just go. So to gird up your loins, it's like to man up, like to be ready for the challenge, just to be prepared. The truth is the belt that takes a person from unpreparedness to total readiness and equipment to do whatever is going to come up. So we don't want to be caught without that, like without being girdled. You don't want to be attacked without being ready, you know, when you're wearing the dress and you like can't move, then you're caught. That's it. Without the truth, we're not prepared to move or to be attacked. That's it. We would just be caught. So verse 15. and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So here again, as well, the gospel of peace is the word of God. And like in chapter 17 of John, it's to move out with too. So we have the word to protect us, we're girded, we're prepared, and then we also have it to move out with. Okay, verse 17, we're skipping 16. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So what's the sword of the Spirit? The word of God. And what's the word of God? It's the truth. So go to Hebrews 4. Okay. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the sword of the Spirit is not a sword to kill people or to, like, attack with. It's a sword to discern. The sword is the great delineator of our life, of what goes and what doesn't go. It's to see clearly what's real and what's false, what's safe, what's a trap, what's good in our lives, and what needs to go. It's our arms for this life, to cut through all the lies that are surrounding us. So the word, the truth, that's the sword, and it cuts through all the crap. So I have a series of questions that I'm going to ask, and you can answer them. So would you rather have a real $100 bill or a counterfeit?
Real.
Real. Would you rather live in lies to appease or have the truth?
True.
That one's pretty obvious. Do you want the real recipe for your favorite dinner or one that's just a little wrong?
Real.
Real, yeah. Ladies, do you want a real diamond or a fake one?
Real.
Do you want to know the truth of what happened or just someone's story?
Truth.
Yeah. To live in darkness and trickery or to turn on the light and to see? To see. So those were obvious. But my final question is why? Like, why do we want the real $100 bill and not the fake one? Why all those things? And the answer is because lies don't work. There's no power in it. There's no value in it. They don't get us anywhere. The truth has power because it's real. It's the real thing. You can't spend a fake $100 bill because there's no value in it. You can't buy something with that. You can't make your favorite dinner if the recipe is not the true one. There could be one ingredient off and it doesn't taste right. It's just, that's not it. And for something like that, there's only one singular right thing. There's only one true recipe that you know, your grandma's or whatever. If there's some extra cinnamon, it's going to be weird. And someone could have 100 alibis of what they were doing last night, but only one thing actually happened, and that's the true thing. So we want the truth even if it means we have to adjust or change our lives to it, because it's the truth. There's power in the truth. There's value in the truth because it's the real thing. And in all those circumstances, it makes sense. Like, you want the real $100 bill. You wouldn't accept a fake one. You don't want a knockoff purse. You don't want a fake recipe. And we understand this with other things. We need to understand it with the word too, that there's value in the truth. There's power in it because it's true. Anything different, one thing off, it's not the real thing. And it's not going to do the same thing. So go to 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study to rightly divide the word of truth because nothing less than the truth is what's going to get us that value. We need to have the truth. So this word People can sometimes use it to mean something it doesn't mean. You can manipulate it. You could cut it wrongly. But there's one truth. That means one right cutting of the word is the word of God. Like I said before, God revealed this word. So that means there is a word that's true. There's one thing that's true. Like with the alibi, only one thing really happened. So there's only one true thing that God meant by his word. And we need to get the right cutting. Because if you have the wrong cutting, it doesn't work. If you have the right cutting, it's power for an abundant life. It's true. You can cut through all the stuff of life. Okay. Yeah, there's one truth, and that only that one truth is the real 100. It's the real bankable thing. Not bangable, bankable. Bankable with a K. Okay. And so we can't overdo accuracy with this. If this is the one thing in life that's real, we should want the real thing. We can't be too concerned with the accuracy of it. Once it's a little off, it's not the truth. So go to 1 Thessalonians, please. If it's not the truth, you can't take it to the bank. You know, if there's one thing off about a dollar bill, it's not real. That, like, then it's a counterfeit. If there's something wrong with the word, we have to try our best to get the right word back. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Because God's word is real. It's powerful. Almost isn't good enough when it counts. And we're talking about living based on this word, making decisions based on this word. So we have to know. Like, we have to know what it says and what to do with it. If we actually are dedicated to, like, living this life that it's talked, that God lays out for us in the word, we have to know the word and we have to know it correctly. Because then you come upon a decision in life and, like, you want to make it based on the real word, the right word. So it's really important. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when we receive the word, it's like we receive the one real gemstone in a sea of lies of, like, other rocks that suck. So it's like, you're like, this is it. Like, all of life, and I found, like, the one thing, the real thing. That's what it's talking about here, that you received it as the word of God. We hear this and we're like, this is God's word, not just that lady up there talking. It's God's word that he revealed for me to believe. So we receive it as the one truth, the one real thing in this world. It's the thing of value. Like, so with the recipe before, you know, your grandma's recipe, like, maybe you've wanted it your whole life and you've tried and tried to come up with it yourself. You've experimented in the kitchen and then she gives you the recipe, or someone finds it, they unearth it, and you're like, this is the recipe. So it's like that. We have the word now. This is the word. This is like, we're like, yes, I have the word. It's something to live by. It's truth. It's something reliable, finally. Like, what a relief. People in the world guess. For real, they guess, they look stuff up online. Like, they ask their friends and nobody knows answers. For us, like, we know, even if you don't know where to find in the word, you can go talk to your fellowship coordinator. You could talk to any one of these people and they could help direct you to getting the answer that you need. And that, like, that's crazy. What a relief. So that's really cool. 2:13. Let's read it again. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. So we're thankful to God for the truth. Because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So our success and our victory in this life, during this life, depends on us aligning with the truth. Because it's the truth whether or not we're on board. You know? It's the truth anyway. So this is a quote. And all the quotes that I'm going to read are by Dr. Rewell. So I'm just going to say that this is a quote and you can be like, by Dr. Rewell. The word is more sure than the ground you walk on. This world will be gone someday, but the word of God lives and abides forever. So, unquote. So we can either believe it or not believe it, but you can't break it. It's happening. It's like a train that's going by. You could get on the train if you want. You could not get on the train. It's going to continue to go. The word is still true. It's going to happen anyway. You can get with it, or you could not get with it and not reap the benefits. So I'd say just get aligned with the word and reap the benefits and go, because it's going to be real anyway. Psalm 100, please. And I think it's really cool. Like, we're all supposed to be under 30 who are here. And and we have this word already. Like, that's amazing. We can align the majority of our lifetime with this word. That's a privilege and a relief and exciting, because we can have the most abundant lives because we get to do this now. A lot of people only look to God when they think that they're about to die. They're like, oh, I guess it's time to prepare for the next life or whatever. But we have it now, and we can live more because of that, more life. So Psalm 100, verse 5, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Go to Psalm 117, verse 2. "So his truth endureth." Psalm 117, verse 2. "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." There is what we see, and then behind it, there's the spiritual realities of God and his word and truth. And even as the physical comes and goes, God's word still stands, abides forever. So there's fact and then there's truth. And I wanted to talk about this really briefly. Like, there's plants down here. Fact, these plants are alive. Will that be true next year? No, because they're annuals, so they'll be dead. So fact is observable in the physical, and it might be, like, real for a moment, but it's not true forever. God's word is true, because it's true forever, the things that he says, that he reveals to us. Fact could change. Fact is observations, it's science, it's whatever. God's word is true. Does that make sense? Okay, Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, 19. "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." So you want to be right all the time, and you want to be right forever, where, like, time won't even prove you wrong, then agree with God's word. It says, "The lip of truth shall be established forever." So who speaks truth, that word will be established forever, time and time again. If you want to be right, agree with God. He's right. And so as young people, it's cool, because we have all the wisdom of God in his word despite our youth. We don't have to screw up to learn everything. We'll still screw up, but we don't have to go experiment, because the truth is right here. And when we speak the truth, we're not going to be humiliated by other people. We're not going to be proven wrong by time, because truth, when you speak it, is only established and established again. So that's really cool. We can speak the truth to our friends, we can speak the truth to our family, and they'll be like, wow, that's like, that worked, and you have the real advice. And it's like, yeah, because it's God's true word. So go to Ephesians 6, please. Ephesians 6, verse 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." So if we need to protect ourselves armed with the truth and girdled up, then that means that there must be something other than truth out there. That makes sense. It's logic. Go to John 8. Because there's a spiritual battle that we're in. So John 8, 44. I'm going a little faster, so I don't run out of time. John 8, 44. "Ye are of your father, the devil, And the lusts of your father ye will do. So this is Jesus Christ talking to some bad guys. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is the liar and the father of it. So this is talking about the devil. The devil is the reason that there's false information in the world. It says he is the father, he's a liar and the father of it. So he made lying. Quote, the one thing the devil doesn't want you to know is the word. The one thing. So he would have you believe anything else. It doesn't even matter to him what you think, as long as it's not the word of God. Because the word is true. And so how do we withstand his lies? With the truth. The one true thing. Knowing the word. Go to Galatians 3, please. Galatians 3:1. Okay. Galatians 3:1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? So you might have heard the phrase, we have no friends when it comes to the word, and been like, but I have a ton of friends. Like, here they are. So I wanted to talk about that for a minute, because, yeah, I could see that being confusing. But it's talking about the integrity of the word. You know, your parents, your friends, everything that they say to you isn't guaranteed to be the truth of the word. And so we have no friends when it comes to the word means we check the integrity of what people say against God's word. Like, someone might say something and you're like, it doesn't sound right, like, chapter and verse on that. Like, where is that in the word? And it doesn't matter who the person is. That's what we have no friends means. Like, it could be your best friend, but they tell you something that's off the word and you're like, I don't think so. It doesn't matter who it is. Your family and friends, in the end of our lives, and even now, it boils down to you and God. Your relationship with you and God, that's what you're responsible for. Not someone else's mind, not saving face with your friends or family. Even your parents could be wrong. Even your best friend could be wrong, even if they're a believer. So it's about getting to the truth. Because, again, the truth is what has value and what has power. And if we really want to live that way, and we want the value in the word, then we're not willing to compromise when our best friend tells us something that's off the word. Because we have that one gemstone that we finally found, and we're like, I'm not willing to let that go. So please show me where you got that in the word. Otherwise, I'll show you why it's wrong in the word. And that doesn't mean we have to go around correcting people, but we don't have to just go with it, because it's you and God, and no one should get in the way of that relationship and in the way of the integrity of the word in your life. This, to me, is life. It's power. It's truth. And would you be willing for someone to trade you a fake $100 bill for a real one when you have the real one? It's like, no, thank you. I have the real one. Why would I want that? And so just be vigilant about that when people try to get in there with the not true word. So that makes sense. We have no friends when it comes to the word. It doesn't matter who it is. We hold fast to the word. 1 Timothy 6. Please. First Timothy 6:20 and 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. So in verse 20, the word science is the knowledge which is. So oppositions of the knowledge which is falsely so called. It's talking about information or knowledge that's called knowledge, but it's not really knowing. And I have a quote. Wisdom is to believe what God's word says. Error does nothing but enslave, regardless of how reasonable it may seem. And that's a really deep one that you could think about later in your free time. Regardless of how reasonable it may seem, error does nothing but enslave. So truth sets us free. It's the opposite. So science, falsely so called, it's understanding that is falsely called knowledge because it's not true. We're going to look at that more. You can go to 2 Timothy 3. People think that they're learning more and more. They're like, I'm getting a ninth degree. But is that ever going to lead them to the truth of the word? That's the question. Maybe it will, but probably not. 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So before we looked at how the adversary is the father of lies, and he just spews out endless information. So you could hear like a million things in a day, and maybe one of them is the word of God, but a lot of them are not going to be. So you could learn each and every one of those things, but that's never going to lead you to the truth, because the truth is in the word. And 99%, this isn't fact-checked, but 99% of what we hear in the world is lies. So what happens if you make a decision based on one of those lies? There's no power in it. You fall. It doesn't hold up. And we don't want to do that. We want to decipher with the sword, and we want to know the one true thing that's going to hold up when we make a decision on it and when we walk out on it. So it was 3:7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So people love to learn and learn and learn, yet they never get to the truth, because they just keep learning things that are false and rejecting the word. And it could be science, it could be whatever. That's like mainly what college is about. I went to college. But you don't get the truth there. You get the truth from the word. So remember that. 1 Timothy 4. And people love to be like, well, I'm so educated, and like I know this and this and this and this. And they're like, I'm so academic and smart. But you don't have to be smart to know the word. You just have to know the word, and it's true. You could know only the word and not be that smart, but the word still works, and it's the true thing. And that is pretty wild. God made it simple for us, and it's not a bragging thing. That's amazing. It's just you know the truth or you don't. 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So this is lies and lies and lies made by the devil. Verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So this is about the word now. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables. So refuse false things, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And how do we get godliness? It's a true and vital relationship with God. How do we know God? His word, his truth. So, you know, there'll always be endless suggestions of the world, new things that are the answer, the big solution, the key to happiness, or the new trend, but none will ever work, because only the one truth has profit unto all things. The promise of life now and for all eternity. It's the real truth and not a lie. Go to 1 John, please. 1 John, chapter 2. Verse 21. 1 John 2:21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. That's us. We know it. And that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus Christ is the Christ? Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And then verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So once we have rightly divided the word and got it, we keep the same. Saying, I write this to you not because you don't know the truth, but because you do. And we do. So in keeping that one truth intact, we keep the same word, we hold fast to the same, and we teach the same to other people. Sometimes we learn more of the word, but what we do know, we keep and we teach that same thing. And go to Ephesians, please. Ephesians 4. Verse 14. that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we hold to the truth and we don't be swayed, because the one truth has the value and the power. And then we speak it to other people. It's the same thing. We have it for ourselves in this life to protect us from the evil, to live an abundant life, and then we go out with it and we speak it in love. And go to 3 John, please. Verse 1. 3 John. There's only one chapter in 3 John, so 3 John 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. The power, the value, the might in this life is in having the real, genuine, only rightly divided, one true word of God and holding fast to that, preparing ourselves with it so that we can stand in the evil day, girded with truth and ready to go at any moment, ready to fight, ready to run, ready to go with it, sanctified by truth, even though we're physically still in this world. And we're going to close in John 17, because I really thought this prayer was so cool. I was like, he thought of me. So John 17. We should really feel privileged to have this word, because we are. And God, it was his will to beget us with his truth. He just was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And he didn't have to. He wanted to. John 17, 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the word of truth is God's preparation to his people to live this life more than abundantly. It's the thing that protects us, sets us apart. We're physically here, but we're separated by the truth. And that's really cool. And that's it.